Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. Please give a look. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You'll even find out some more information about us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our desire is to do nothing more than show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. Today, we're going to conclude our part of examples of looking at Jesus Christ, our perfect example. And today, we're going to begin by looking at His example as an unselfish servant. In John chapter 13, verse 13 through 16, prior to Him being arrested and eventually being crucified, Jesus took the time to wash His disciples' feet. And He wasn't giving an example of washing the disciples' feet. He was showing humility and servitude. And He told them if they were ever going to be successful in doing His will, they have to have a heart of a servant, and to be a servant, you have to have humility. We also see that He came as a suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 53 describes Him as a lamb being led to the slaughter, is dumb before His shears, and opens not its mouth. He didn't offer defense. He didn't try to stop it. He was a willing sacrifice. He was unselfish. He was willing to die for the godless and for the ungodly, and for the wicked person who didn't love Him, didn't care about Him, but He was still unselfish enough to die for Him. He gave His life willingly in John chapter 10. He gave it willingly. Nobody took it from Him. He came to do His Father's will, John 4, 34, chapter 5, verse 30, chapter 6, verse 38. We are to have the mind of Christ. We are to think like He thought. We are to put others' interests ahead of our own. And we're to esteem others better than ourselves. Why? Because that's what our Lord did. And we have that instruction in Philippians 2, 2 through 5. We are to go the full measure. We are to give every ounce that we have in order to be willing to serve others. Jesus did. He even went to the cross in order to be able to save mankind. He gave everything He had. And He tells us that we must have the disposition to take up our cross daily and to follow Him, Matthew 19, 24 through 26. Our cross must be connected by our service, our unselfish service to be a servant for Christ. And He was our example in all things. We read that in 1 Peter 1, verse 22 through 23. He was an unselfish servant. He was willing to give every ounce of Himself in order to benefit others. We as His children must have that same unselfish attitude about willingly being a servant to do God's will. And the last thing that we want to look at Jesus as our perfect example is His example of obedience. In John 8, verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. John 8, verse 29. He was a faithful servant. He was faithful to His Father in all things that He was sent to accomplish. His will be done. He prayed three times. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, let Thy will be done. Not His will, but His Father's will. He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. If we open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and begin reading in verse 5 through verse 7. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest, but he who was able said to Him, You are my Son, today I have begotten you. And as He also says in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And in whose days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears, to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. We also read in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 21 through 25, that he left us an example. We begin reading in verse 21. For this to you you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was there found in his mouth deceit, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. He gave us a perfect example. We learned how to suffer by watching how Christ suffered for us. We must all walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. We must remember our heroes of faith that we can read about in Hebrews chapter 11 and in chapter 12. These were obedient to all that God commanded them, just like the son was fully obedient to all the things that his father commanded him. Can we get to heaven without following this perfect example that he set before us? We can't be perfect, but we can strive to follow his teaching. Imitate me as I imitate him. 1 Corinthians 11, excuse me, verse number 1. We have to have this same type of example of obedience. He's the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. We also see in Romans, the 6th chapter, in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, that's who slaves to whom you obey, whether it's sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We must become a slave of righteousness. We must be obedient to the instructions that our master left us. And we must be obedient in all things. The law of Christ is not a smorgasbord that you take what you like and leave what you don't like. Do what you agree with and just leave off what you don't agree with. We are to have this example that we have left from our Savior. He was perfect as an unselfish servant. He was perfect as an example of obedience, and we should follow in his footsteps. We should be an unselfish servant for Jesus Christ, and we should be obedient to our master in all things that he has left and instructed us to do in his word. Jesus is our perfect example. He is our perfect example, and we've examined this a number of ways this month. We have looked at his perfect example of prayer. We have looked at his perfect example of compassion and long-suffering for those who have difficulties. We've looked at his perfect example in the forgiveness and his willingness to forgive others and his call upon us to be willing to forgive others if we want him to forgive us. And then today, we have looked at his perfect example as being an unselfish servant and a perfect example of being obedient to everything that his father set him to do. In John chapter 17, he said that he had finished the work that his father had sent him to do. He was faithful in all things, and we are called upon to be faithful in all things concerning him, that we might be that unselfish servant and that obedient servant, that we do what he's instructed us to do to the best of our ability in order to exemplify that unselfish service attitude and the obedient attitude that we should have as a child of God. And so in closing, in this last lesson this month, in looking at the perfect example of Jesus, we are not perfect. God has not asked us to be perfect. God has not asked us to be sinless. But he has asked us to strive for perfection, to strive to have the character of God. We're not born with the character of God. It is something that we must develop. And I want to read, as we close this part of the study of looking at the perfect example of Jesus, I want to look at something that we as God's people must never forget as we strive for perfection, that it is a continuing process. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we begin reading in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful, but knowledgeable in our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For to you an interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, we have to put on these Christian graces. We must put on this character that was exemplified to us by the Son while he was with mankind during his sojourning on earth. He left us an example. He left us a pattern. And we are to take that character and that pattern and those qualities, and we are to make them part of our own lives. Why? In order that we might exemplify what's right, what's honorable, what's in accordance with his will, that we might lead others to the cross, that we would leave others, sinners, to Jesus, who can help them, redeem them, forgive them, and save them through the blood that he would shed and did shed on the cross of Calvary. Yes, Jesus is our perfect servant, our perfect example in obedience, in compassion, in prayer, in forgiveness, and in doing the Father's will. We too must strive in all those areas to follow that example and that pattern so that we can do the work that God put us here to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope and pray that we understand what Jesus did and taught us while he was here on earth. He taught us that it's more about me. It's more about you. It's about our ability to help others. It's about our ability to put ourselves in a position that we could show the best of what it means to be a Christian, that we can demonstrate that we are striving to follow the example that our Lord left us in order to help men see their shortcomings, to see the sin in their lives, and to understand that the only remedy to take care of that sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. But in order to obtain it, you must come to the cross, and you must come to meet his terms and his conditions in order to receive the blessings of his grace and the mercy and the long-suffering and the love that he had for us in order to come. Yes, Jesus came to this earth, and he lived a perfect life. He gave us a perfect example. Let us learn the lessons that he left us. Let us put them into practice in our lives, and let us strive to be more Christ-like so we can help lead others to the glorious cross of Jesus.